list goes on. April 8th on FightfulSelect.com. Hosted by Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp. Hey, Jimmy. It's time to talk about WrestleMania and several of the happenings from that event.
You know, you sound like the kind of guy that would produce a really vague podcast, Sean.
I did that this week. On my day off, I was like, you know what? I'm kind of bored. Because I'm sure you've experienced things where you're like, you know what? Maybe I should go up and get some work done, but you force yourself to not do work. That way you won't be burned out in the future.
And I have a daughter who's 5 and a son who's almost 3. Fair. So I don't get a lot of time to think of other stuff to do.
Fair. But I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just try my own podcast today. And it was 25 minutes. That thing took 6 hours to produce, edit, upload, and render.
Wow.
Like, man, I don't like this. But hey, if you all want to watch it.
It's a long time.
It's at youtube.com/SRS Wrestling.
There you go. So Edge and Randy Orton, let me just say this. It's unfortunate that after a 9-year layoff, Edge's first match back, one of the greatest stars ever in WWE, his first match back had to happen during this pandemic. Like, yes. no one could have predicted that, and it's unfortunate. His first match back should have been in a stadium with 70,000 people. It was what it was, and I don't know why they went 40 minutes. I don't know why they just kept doing the same redundant stuff over and over again. The finish was good, but yes. Otherwise, I don't know why they did all the redundant stuff. Whatever, it was what it was. The only thing that I want to say is the Edge spot in the gym, the hanging spot. To me, I look at it like this. Everybody knows about the Chris Benoit thing. If the Vice documentary hadn't aired, because the documentary got a ton of attention and it kind of brought the story back. You know what I mean? If the Vice documentary hadn't aired, I think they could have got away with that spot without really any backlash or any heat. Because the documentary aired 2 weeks prior, that came off as just the most unaware spot. And I was surprised they did it. They were both around when Benoit was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was surprised that they did that, knowing that the documentary aired 2 weeks ago. I was almost shocked to see them do that.
And the level of unawareness, I asked about it and people were like, nobody really raised any concerns. But then again, there's far less people around right now than usual to raise concerns. But I thought,
yeah,
that
but doesn't
was,
anybody review anything before they go? Yeah, right? They
that match, it. That match needed 20 minutes shaved off of it. 20 minutes.
It was really bad. It was. And I felt for Edge because, he's such a likable guy. I think I told you that I saw him before he left the Indies and I thought he was an asshole. I told you that. Wanted his own locker room, or he said, where's my locker room?
Oh, man.
But he comes off like such a nice guy and so well respected, and 9 years away. And that is what he had to deal with. It was what it was. I mean, there's nothing more you can say about it, but that spot really kind of had me, scratching my head a little bit.
It was weird.
Now, moving on to Roman Reigns. I feel like I'm picking on Triple H a lot lately, man. You know, I mean, I have so much respect for the guy and everything he's done in NXT and the fact that he would do the interviews with the wrestling media. And
yeah.
He's doing so many annoying things these days. He's like I said before, he is kind of quietly turning into Vince McMahon. So he was promoting WrestleMania last week, doing all kinds of press, did a lot of stuff for ESPN in particular. He did an interview with Ariel Helwani. I'm sure people know who he is. He's an MMA analyst for ESPN now. Ariel Helwani asked him about Roman Reigns' WrestleMania participation because it was public that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be at WrestleMania. And Ariel Helwani's a big wrestling fan, so he knew. This is the quote from Triple H, and this was before SmackDown aired going into Mania. Triple H said, quote, I don't want to give away the ending of the movie before the movie takes place. Everybody just has to watch and see how this unfolds. It will unfold in a unique way, and I think it will be meaningful for everybody. That's what Triple H said. SmackDown comes and goes. They didn't say anything except for one very quick, very brief, oh, Braun Strowman has the opportunity now. That's basically all they said.
So abrupt, I had to rewind it because I missed it.
Yes, it was just during one of those little graphics where they have like the ship and then they kind of go from one match to the other. That was the only time they mentioned it. It took 10 seconds. Then WrestleMania itself, they said nothing.
Nothing.
All they said was Braun Strowman now has the opportunity to challenge for the Universal title. I watched that and I thought to myself, what if you are a viewer that ordered the pay-per-view, especially if you ordered it, say, on Fight or on Fox Sports or something, or on pay-per-view, ordered the show because you wanted to see Roman Reigns Goldberg, and maybe you missed SmackDown, or maybe like Sean, you missed the moment when they said that Braun has the shot now, because they didn't mention it at all over the 2 hours except for that. How would that particular consumer feel if you tuned in for that and now it's Braun Strowman and there was zero advertisement because they baited that it was going to be Roman up until then? Zero advertisement. Now it's Braun Strowman. I didn't understand the whole thing. And Triple H saying, you know, it's going to evolve in a unique way, unfold in a unique way. They didn't do anything. You know, they didn't do anything. I just didn't understand it. It's like, I get it. I get it. They don't want to say, well, Roman Reigns is immunocompromised and The Miz showed up under the weather and Roman Reigns decided he didn't want to take the risk and do the match. I know they don't want to say that because that looks like bad PR. Oh, a guy on your roster was sick and you still had these guys wrestle. You know what I mean? But they didn't say anything. It was very poorly done, I thought. Really poorly done.
Well, one, match should have been filmed during the face-off with Goldberg and Reigns. It was ignorant for WWE to not film that two-minute match, Jimmy.
Yes.
Then 2 minutes that match lasted.
Yep.
As far as the other stuff, it's like I think that actually adds a little bit to Roman Reigns. If you said WWE did not feel safe in this landscape having Roman Reigns wrestle, okay, well, that's WWE not taking an opportunity from him, but it makes everybody look a little bit better that way.
They could have spun it that way, like it was a company decision.
They could have. There was no mention of Braun. You could have had him at least crush somebody on SmackDown. For the love of God, remind us who he is, why he should be in that spot, and that it's so dumb. And like somebody had said, he's been a babysitter to celebrities and kids for the last few years. The last time we saw him, he was getting beaten up by three or four people at a time.
And Sami Zayn kept on referencing it.
Yes.
Even on SmackDown on Friday before Mania, Sami Zayn referenced that he beat Braun Strowman.
Yep. Oh, man.
So, and I the other thing I thought too, so why didn't they have something? So I'm assuming that Roman told them after they taped SmackDown, just based on the fact
they must
that
have. Yeah, they did.
They must have, right? Why Roman was there? Why didn't they do something like Roman is about to get out of his car and then Braun comes along in a truck? You know what I mean?
Yeah, something. They had a semi truck there too.
Yeah, like they could have done something like that. And then on SmackDown, they could have dubbed in, because did you notice that some of Michael Cole's commentary was dubbed in after the fact? You
yes,
could tell.
Yes, he did a lot in post.
They could have dubbed in, you know, Braun Strowman did something, took Roman Reigns out of the match, whatever, and then tape that even after SmackDown and then just put it in post-production. There's so many things they could have done that I couldn't believe that they completely ignored it and that Triple H had the gall to say it's going to unfold in a unique way. It was just unbelievable.
Also, dumb of them to keep bringing the announcers there. Like, why do you want two more people in that room than you have to have? Do it in post. If you want to have guest commentators, do it in post. I don't care. I don't need to see them. Like, I can see the reflection of your cat and your LJN case right now, Jimmy.
Can you?
Yeah, I can. But the viewer right can't. The viewer can't. Hey. But I see it. I know a good cat reflection when I see one.
There you go. Yeah, he's sitting in the window right over there. Bill Goldberg, there were some reports this week that he supposedly used creative control in Saudi Arabia to go over The Fiend because he thought that his superhero character should be meeting the monster character, The Fiend. Any truth to that, or is that all crap?
I've asked, and the people that I've spoken to have said, I haven't heard anything like that. And that's just where it is. I can't imagine that he would do that. Even okay, yes, I can imagine that he would do that. He is an incredibly unaware, ridiculous dude at a lot of times. But if he knew that his last match was going to be at WrestleMania, as the other report says, which I also was not able to verify, then I don't know, because losing to The Fiend doesn't look much worse than getting beat by Braun Strowman in a couple minutes. So what the hell, man.
If anything, it was worse because The Fiend was unstoppable before that match. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like you said, Braun spent the last couple of years babysitting kids and celebrities and stuff, like you said. So, okay, that's interesting.
As The Undertaker once said to Bret Hart, it's not fucking always about you.
Very nice reference. Who said that? Nash did.
Nash said that Undertaker said that to Bret Hart.
He's retelling the story. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Or he said, motherfucker, it's not always about you.
That's what he said. Kayfabe commentaries, I think. Yeah. I wasn't crazy about Charlotte beating Rhea Ripley by submission. Wasn't crazy about it. Wasn't surprised at all because Charlotte is kind of like the chosen one, you know, on the female side. Wasn't surprised. Didn't like the finish. What did you feel about that? And is there any truth that Rhea's Ripley's U.S. visa has run out?
If it's run out, then it. I'll put it like this. If it's run out, she's not back in Australia. They had plans for her as of early this week to face Chelsea Green at the tapings. I don't know. I mean, Mike Johnson doesn't usually fumble stuff like that, so I don't know what was going on there, but he issued a retraction. Rhea Ripley said she's still in the States. People that I had talked to in NXT hadn't heard about that. Nobody had gotten back to me when we ran Mike Johnson's report, but I don't know what the status of her visa is. I just know that there were plans for her to compete at the NXT tapings, and tentatively she was supposed to face, I think, like Chelsea Green or somebody like that.
Okay. Otis and Mandy Rose. I think if there was one match or one segment at WrestleMania that really missed having a live crowd, it was probably Otis and Mandy Rose. And this was one thing, and I got to tell you, when I was watching this as a viewer, this match, and when, you know, he wins the match, Mandy helps him out, and then he picks her up in his arms. I watched all that thinking, okay, that's, you know, that's probably where it was going to go kind of thing. That's fine. When they kiss Sean, as a viewer, I watched that and I went, what? You're doing the payoff? Because to me, the kiss was the payoff. Exactly. Like the relationship was the payoff. I watched that thinking, you're doing the payoff in front of no people. You know what I mean? I watched that thinking them reuniting was enough. That's all you had to do.
Yes.
Them reuniting was enough. Him picking her up in his arms, that was enough. Wait on the other stuff until you're back in front of people. I could not believe that whoever the powers that be didn't pivot at all on that.
Even picking it up. I mean, that's what you got to build to. You build, like, maybe they glance at each other. Maybe they hold hands. Then you build to the picking up. Then you build to the kiss. That, I mean, it's I agree with you. It needed a crowd. I would not have done this match without a crowd because the low blow on Dolph Ziggler, that would have got a big pop. I wouldn't have even had the Sonya thing happen first. You got to question, what is she doing? Who is she here for? People remember Trish Stratus, Christian, and Chris Jericho. You got to make them question. Then she hits the low blow. Then she attacks Sonya after. Then the Otis stuff. But it needed a crowd. If anything, I would have Mandy be like, I don't like people fighting over me anyway. Drag it out until you've got crowds. Do some more date stuff. Do some more depressed Otis stuff. Add the sympathy and then do it. I thought, and this is a perfectly appropriate analogy, I thought they blew their wad with this one, Jimmy.
You're proud of yourself, aren't you?
I'm very proud of myself.
I'm glad. Drew McIntyre. So my assumption, and I don't like using that word too often, but my assumption is that they did the thing with the Big Show at Mania because Show was available the day they taped Mania, but he wasn't available the day they taped Raw because he had to do press for his show. I'm just kind of spitballing, but I assume that's why they did it. Have you heard anything about that? Because if that's not the reason that they did it that way, they made Drew McIntyre look like a moron by going back to the ring, leaving himself open to a challenge like that. So is that the reason that they did it like that? Is because Show was available the day they taped Mania, but he wasn't available the day they taped Raw?
I don't think so, because they could have just changed the video boards and the apron real easy.
Sure, they could have
just done that, and nobody would have been any the wiser. I don't think so, though.
That was... So they're already making Drew look like a moron. He had just won the title, and he's already looking like an idiot.
Well, he didn't want to fight him. See, I thought that was like the worst of both worlds there, because one, he didn't want to fight the Big Show, and WWE history shows you if somebody does that, well, they're a pussy if they don't want to fight somebody. And on the other hand, I was like, well, he's being smart about it. But then he did it anyway.
Then they announced it was a title match without really saying anything about it. And then
after Big Show said, I don't even care if it's for the title.
Yeah. The whole thing was bad. And then to me too, like, I don't recall ever a guy winning the title, leaving the ring, and then coming back out to the ring.
Had to get his side plates on, Jimmy.
It was really bad. And then a side note about Drew McIntyre. Tyson Fury did an interview with TalkSport. He said he was supposed to be at WrestleMania. He didn't say to do what, but he said he was supposed to be at WrestleMania. He said he's gunning for Drew McIntyre now, and Drew McIntyre responded and basically said, bring it on. Do you think that there's any discussion about a possible Drew McIntyre, Tyson Fury match? They're both from Great Britain anyway. Drew's from Scotland, but it's considered, you know, UK, part of Great Britain. Yeah. Do you think that they might be looking at doing that maybe over in Europe? Like, have you, because Tyson Fury was garbage with Braun Strowman.
Terrible.
He just was. He's just not. Some guys take to pro wrestling very quickly and some don't. He fits into the latter category. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything about Tyson Fury at all?
I mean, I know there's an ongoing dialogue and he was supposed to come in and do something with him. And a lot of that was contingent on his performance against Deontay Wilder. But I think he's more likely to angle towards that third Wilder fight already, because that's, he's going to make a lot more money off of that feud than he's going to make off of WWE. But he's keeping his name out there and he's keeping it somewhat relevant in that respect. So I think WWE, well, okay, I'll say this. People in WWE know how bad he was there, but they also know what kind of a ridiculous draw he is. And the thing is, you cannot put him over Drew. You can't put him over anybody for that title.
No.
He's got to eventually lose it, and you could always say, oh, well, maybe he could do it in a triple threat. No, he doesn't need to be your world champion. Let the world know that you've got the biggest stars, not that everybody else has the biggest stars.
Yep, I agree. They definitely cannot do it. No. What'd you think of NXT? So William Regal was on the bump, and he said that because Jordan Devlin is stuck overseas and Jordan Devlin is the Cruiserweight champion, NXT is going to pull a Dana White. They are going to have a tournament to determine the interim, which is Dana White's favorite word, the interim Cruiserweight champion. And then presumably once they determine a champion, then they're going to down the road wrestle Devlin for the undisputed Cruiserweight champion. What do you think about all that, man?
I am 100,000% for it because Melissa has not defended her Fightful championship in a very long time. So I think that we should institute an interim Fightful championship.
Is that right?
And only I'm eligible for it. I think that's what we should do.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Why not? Uh-huh. And then when the borders are opened back up, that ladder that Melissa climbed up during our first fight, we hang the title up above it. Maybe you could even rent out the Greek or whatever the hell that place is, Midtown Event Theater. We do it there, yeah. Jimmy. I'm just ready to spend all your money here.
Oh boy, because you're not accustomed to doing that at all.
I think I just lost my interim title match.
Yeah, you might have. Yeah.
I think you just beat me in the tournament right there.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever Sean goes over payroll, because I have a budget, whenever he goes over payroll, he's always got, you know, some great valid explanation for it. Oh, I gave the guy a raise. Did I not tell you? Oh.
Now, come on. I have never given somebody a raise without telling you. You've given people raises without telling me. But, Jimmy, here's the thing. To make up for all of your money I spent, I am gifting you, I think this is 7 figures Canadian right here.
Uh-huh.
7 figures Canadian.
I can't see the denomination. Is that a dollar bill? A dollar bill. That's cute. That's cute. Last but not least, I saw the press release. Fight TV. This is going to be a tough sell. So Fight TV has launched their own streaming subscription service called Fight Plus, which is a pretty creative name. So it's called Fight Plus. $4.99 a month, $49.99 a year gets you access to content for more than 25 wrestling and MMA promotions. One thing they're doing that is kind of interesting is every month that you're a subscriber, you're going to earn a $2 credit towards the purchase of a pay-per-view. Because obviously, yes, the pay-per-views are not included in the subscription price. So that's cool that they're doing that. What kind of live content is available? Like, I went into Fight Plus just to kind of see, and most of the stuff that I saw was, it said in parentheses, rebroadcast.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a tough sell. I get why they're doing it. They're just looking for another revenue stream, but what kind of live content do they have?
I don't know about live content. I know the most attractive on-demand stuff is like CZW and, BKB, the bare knuckle boxing. And when I saw a lot of the other stuff, I was just like,
Are people going to pay $4.99 a month for that stuff?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, maybe somebody will. I do have some friends who are, they'll watch any MMA content they can get a hold of, and they spend a lot of money on it. But I ain't that guy. I'm not that guy. I've always said the quickest way to become a casual MMA fan is to cover it for a living. And I can't imagine watching. I already think there are too many low level UFC fights. I can't imagine watching Shamrock FC or something.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got for you, buddy. I'll try to figure out the webcam for next week. I don't know why I did it. Maybe it was your internet, like you said.
People like to party, Jimmy. Until next time, we're out.
It is Kentucky internet.
Oh.